So I think we're going to get started. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming and welcome. We're session 3139 using dashboards in group health, and primarily we're going to have three talks about America's health rankings and then one talk about the application of it. So let me kind of go through and just talk about what the overall session's objectives are. Technically, Anna's the moderator, but we decided not to do this parade of people running by, so we're just going to go in sequence. So since I started, I get to do the introduction type of things. We really want to talk during these next 90 minutes in about America's health rankings, kind of the tool, how it's developed, how it's come up to be what it is, and then talk a little bit, go underneath the hood a little bit, and talk about how that model's worked with, developed, and how it's changed, and how it's managed, if you will. Then we're going to spend some time talking about how we get this message out, what the outreach is, you know, how we communicate, and what kind of efforts are done that way. And then the last part we want to make sure we include is, and so how is it being actually put into action? Where is it being used? And we have one great example for that. So that's kind of what we're going to kind of walk about through the history, through the current, the history, how it got where we are, what's underlying it, and how you communicate, and then how it's applied. So that's kind of where we want to do this morning. Here's the list of the speakers. Everybody's going to get to introduce themselves when they get up there. We're not going to play that, so everybody knows who they are. But here's the group. There'll be four groups of us going through, kind of following that overall agenda we talked about. We each get kind of one bullet point to work on. I mentioned here on the time thing we're going to use here, it's always, to me, these sessions always a difficult how you run them, how you don't run. We're going to try to hold all the speakers to about 15 to 18 minutes and then allow a full 15 minutes at the end for Q&A. Because we find out from experience, a lot of these questions can be answered by two or three in the team rather than one to give you guys a broad perspective. So there will be a little time for questions after each one, but also we have a lot more time at the end to ask the broader questions about how things work and stuff like that. So that will be kind of the way we're organizing that. There's a few seats up front, just like in church. So come and enjoy yourself. So the first talk is, I get to start off on it. Just to let you know, my disclosure is, I'm a principal in a small consulting firm, and we basically act as the editor and have editorial control over the report, website, the content, the data. So we basically, the buck stops here while it comes to the report and the data. We're advised by the advisory committee and things like that, so we have guidance, but we get the word editorial content. What I'm going to talk about here is a brief history of what it is right now. It'll be different in a month or so when it's released in December. I want to talk a little bit about how we've got here, because we've been around for 20 plus years, and it's not been a straight line. And I want to kind of walk you through that, because I think there's a lot of lessons about how we evolve and how we had to flex and change through the time. Spend a little time talking about what works, and a little bit about, well, what limitations, constraints we run into consistently. So that's kind of what I want to hit. So what are we now? Basically, we're two key formats. We're a print book, which we found out that nobody brought a copy of it here. So it's just a you got a copy? Anna does. Okay. And we print a book, which has been really key. It's been with us for a long time. And we are an interactive website. But we're basically the longest running. We've been, like I said, this is 23 years. We also look at it not only in a state-by-state comparison, we also roll up and look at the national trends and changes and challenges and things that way. So we try to bring a national message to it forward and look at the data at that level as well as the individual state level. So we try to bring those together to run the scorecard that way. We've recently, in the last few years, we have a very robust website. I invite you to all join it or go visit it at America's Health Ranking, and you can even join our email list on it. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, all that type of stuff. So we have a fairly robust interactive thing, which one of the groups will talk about. We now, after this many years, we actually have a lot of states and organizations that come to us and say, how can we use this? How do we get into your materials? Can you help us supply this type of stuff? And we do a lot of that interaction with different organizations as an ongoing effort to keep the message out there and get a uniform measurement tool out there. We regularly hit the hundreds of millions of media impressions per year when we go out. We go out this year, it'll be December 11th at 12:01 a.m. We'll have a big hit that day, but again, we're going to talk about that's a problem as well as an opportunity type of thing. So it's all one day. How do we make it a long message? Because to get action to happen, we've got to have it happen over a period of time rather than just one instant. And we also actually work from a group of people. The APHA is one of our sponsors, as well as the Partnership Prevention and with the United Health Foundation. So that's kind of where we are right now. We run on a model right now that basically says, a very simple one, a pack of determinants, a handful of outcomes, and a related. And we've divided the determinants into behaviors, community environment, public and health policy, the whole policy side, and then the care side. And each one of these, we have various, you know, measurements. Some of them are absolute measurements we want to look at. Some are really proxies for bigger issues or other issues related to it. But we go through these, and Anna will talk about how these are selected and massaged and looked at each year by the Scientific Advisory Committee. That left side of the screen is all the determinants. It counts for 75% of the index when we put it together. The outcomes, which are usually much easier to measure and much more definable, it's only 25%. And that's a very conscious decision, as we want to drive action. And to do that, you've got to think about what the determinants are, not just what the outcomes are. So that, there's a balance and there's a weighting of each of these things into it. So where do we start? How did this get going? This is a slide that you won't see often, because if you read all the official stuff, it says it started in 1990. And that's because we started earlier and it didn't quite go the way we wanted it to. So what we want is, the objective, when it started out, this was by the current supporters, sponsors, not at all involved. It was totally a different company that was sponsored. And they said, we want to go in and be able to talk to health insurance and buyers from businesses with credibility. You know, this is a smaller company, and it's the times of HMOs and all different kinds of insurance type of things in 1988. And we'll care a little bit about general awareness, because, you know, we're a company, we need some brand awareness. So that was kind of the charge for it. And so we came through kind of an index like this. It really met those objectives, but it raised a lot of concern among the public health officials. My phone was rather busy for a few weeks afterwards. And they said, what's going on here? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? What's going on? You make my life perfect or you make my life horrible. It's one or the other. You don't get a choice. And so what we learned here is a couple things from it, is the fact that this engaged many more audiences than we ever thought it would. Putting the ranks up there, which now everybody does, you say, oh, geez, you should have known that. Back in 1990, this wasn't that common, or 1988, it was not common at all. And there is this thing, people really want to know what's behind it, especially the people that way. So what this kicked off is where we officially started what's currently now called America's Health Rankings. Well, we went back and we really refined it. Says, let's go back and really do a study. We put together a couple of Delphi panels before both the 1990 and the 1991 edition, and said, what should be in it? You know, how do you weigh them? How do you look at the different stuff? What's important to people? And we also added a third audience that year. We went to public health officials, especially state officials. They are becoming an audience. They're the ones that's reading this. Let's work with them. And so this kind of became from a thing about we're going to push it to them, start out without reaching out to them. Now, the outreach wasn't necessarily, it really didn't get up to fruition until like 10 years later, even though we started quite early. So it takes a while to reach these, build these relationships. But we ran the Delphi panel. We talked about the methods and the components, put it together, established a new baseline. That's why you don't hear about 88 and 89, because we're starting right here with this one. The interesting thing, if it was, is there was very small differences between 88, 89, and 90. But the difference was the buy-in among especially the key health official offices. So I would say we probably had 5 or 10% of the index that changed between 89 and 90. The buy-in level went from negative to supportive among some key audiences. And so that was a big thing, is working with the audience, work with the people receiving it to make it work. And we also learned that part of that was we became very transparent in our methodology. You read a report, you can practically duplicate what we do if you wanted to, you know, except, you know, we do it, no. But you can. So we try to be very transparent with everything we do that way. And we've helped other people look at it. We worked with other, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk about how we work with other people. 92 to 94, what we want to do here, we went in a mode where this is working really well. Let's just keep leveraging this, and let's just kind of build on it slowly. We kept the same audiences, the same basic objectives, and this is really a building period where we tried to build robustness to it. And it's interesting here because When we get to the third year, among all the librarians in the world, you pass this magic hurdle that you're called annual now. Because you're here for 3 years in a row, you know you're going to be around. And that makes a difference back in the print era, you know, that's those hard copy things that go in library cells. We actually then got pushed into libraries about, okay, give us a copy, send it to it, and put us on your list to go next year. So it also became credibility. So it added credibility when you got to the third year that surprisingly we didn't get in the first and second year. So it's a whole different thing. They were not worried about content. They were just worried about repetition and longevity. So we brought in a whole other audience of use of pulling that thing in. The other thing we learned in this really quick there is we started lining up with other major events. So if we want to have a smoking message, we went on like National Smokeout Day in November. And so we started saying that, you know, these messages are so aligned, the public's really confused about stuff, can we line these up? Now this is an era when we didn't have much of an aura of follow around ourselves, so it was really key that we kind of, I'll use the word parasite, that's the one that comes to mind, but you know, we leveraged other people's positions and said, let's build on that. And so we worked with them, but we tried to stay very cooperative, but we also tried to use the media's attention to events about that thing. Where our intent was to say, you know, Smokeout Day is really great as an example, but you have to look at health broader. You got to look at not only smoking, you got to look at, you know, inactivity, you've got to look at mortality rates. So let's talk about that issue among the whole type of thing. And so our message was the breadth of it as well as the focus. Then, as the insurance industry changed back in the late 90s, as some people may remember, we went into survival mode because our chief sponsor at that point was bought by another company. Their health insurance business was sold, you know, and there was no business reason for them to be in this at all. They says, but it's a good public relations tool, so what do we do with it? So they threw us into minimal budget. You've all had that term. You know, that's the good thing about how can you do everything with no money. And so they put us and say, just do what you have to do, keep it running, but we don't want to drop it. It's just had too much of a history to it. And at that point, you know, our five-year history was amazingly strong because we actually seen uptakes throughout the time of thing just by keeping the consistency, keeping the repeatability, coming out every fall. That still kept building. So that 5 years led us through these 4 years, the legs on it, by just using soundness and structure, keeping consistent. And at this point, the other thing that helped us on the technical side or the acceptance side of it was the fact that GAO actually used a study for, gives us a good benchmark to fund decisions and allocations. So we got a nice stamp of saying, this is something serious in the market, let's look at it. Luckily, we weren't accepted because that puts a lot of extra weight on it, that's political weight and not necessarily public health weight. And so they used other measures, so I'm glad it wasn't accepted. But at least it gave us credibility that's a viable tool. And we had now at this point, like I said, toward the end of this period is the first time we actually had state health departments actually saying, talk to us about it, what's working on. So not all of them, but we started to get some more people in it. In 1999, it was actually transferred from the initial sponsor, which was Northwestern National Life, which became Relasa, which became ING, which who knows what they are now, to United Health Group and later to United Health Foundation. And at that point, it said they recognize it as a public health tool. Let's actually use this for what it's worth. More than an awareness building tool, let's use it as a public health tool. So that really narrowed the objectives to the population. Let's build awareness about health and the many factors of health. And let's also talk about public health officials. And it also moved us where we now do a lot of the practices we can't imagine not doing, and that is we have pre-calls before release with state health officials, information officers, saying, we're going to come out on this date. Here's what we're going to say. Be ready for it, you know, and let us work together on this messaging so that it's not a surprise to you, and we can all work together to highlight challenges for what they're worth and successes for what you can take credit for and build upon. So we really started that integration where we actually do a lot of the embargoed release of these people that are going to have to that's who they're going to call first, the state health department. And if they answer our emails, and we have given multiple times to talk with us. We put websites up in advance that they get access to it on a limited basis, you know, embargoed so it's password protected. So they get all that type of tools so that when they get that phone call, it's not like, oh, I read it in the paper this morning too, what are you talking about? It's that they have the whole background behind them. They have briefing papers, FAQs and things like that, so they know how to handle this. It's not a surprise to them. The other thing that we went into is we really had to talk more about a determinants versus outcomes model. So we really started to do the visualization more of it. Before, this was a rather dry report with lots of strings of numbers and ranks and rates and all that. We now started to visualize just the very simple outcome model you've seen earlier about, you know, determinants and outcomes, and we went through like 3 or 4 iterations. But this is where we started to visualize things and say, you know, we got a whole audience of people that want to see this instantly in a snapshot. How do we do with that? 2002 to 2006, this is where, as Anna explained, the scientific advisory committee came in key with the challenge to say, let's not take this. We stabilized it as a public health information tool. Let's improve it continuously in both methodology and metrics. And so this really became where we got the public health official now that's a spokesperson, and Dr. Tuckson, who talked in the opening session, is the spokesperson for this. And you know, he can, if you heard the session, he's a very good speaker, very dynamic speaker. And we really started to really push this integration with the public health communicators. And so this is a place where we really worked hard to get this core working about what's going, let's make this a model that is upgraded. We ran into the lessons and the challenges I studied there type of thing is, so how do we adopt new metrics? Because by the early 2000s, you know, as you know, the public health literature is starting to change about much more about determinants, what's in the field, what's causing it, the measurements get better, you know, and we had measures, don't forget, in 1990, it was hard to find smoking rates. You know, so so this thing is evolving rapidly if you look over at this length of period. And we created something that, and we learned something very quick about the state summary sheet, and it's evolved many ways, but this sounds really simple, but it's putting everything you can about one of your target audiences, in this case the state, in one page so a reporter can read it, can understand 3 or 4 bullet points, I'll go through this later, and get a grasp of the whole thing like that. And before, it was all in there, you had to find it, you know, page 32 has this in it. And that. It's amazing what these little things like that do for communications. And probably the communications people say, well, duh. But from our point of view, it was really a big thing how we spent a lot of time thinking about how to communicate this. And the other one we focused in is we now started saying, everybody's familiar with the rankings. Your state is ranked X, 6th or 25th or something. Now we spend more time on what is the second line. So let's work on this. So this means that type of thing, so that we can get the news hook, which the ranking is what grabs the reporter in. But to be a good public health building and awareness tool, you've got to say, what can you do? What's the real cause be underneath it? So it's working on that, getting the hook, and then setting it, if you will, type of thing, I've used a fishing analogy. So that's, we worked a lot more on, everybody keeps talking about is, we know what the top line is. What's your state rank? That's the first question they're ever going to ask out of the chutes, you know. But how do we make them earn that, if you will? Or how do we make them get the health communications message out that is up there that's paramount of importance with that ranking? The 2007 to 2009 is a case where, from our perspective, since we've been around for 16, 17, 18 years, 19 years at this point, you know, boy, it's getting crowded around here. There's a lot of other people ranking everything, you know. And so how do we maintain who we are and really trying to figure out, create a spot for us that people look for us to do something that is unique to what anybody else is doing. And so we really worked on how are we different, how do we make sure we know that we're communicating clearly, and we put a key emphasis on this is who we want to work with. You know, we want to work with the general population awareness and public health officials, especially policy issues. We want to focus really tight on that, and we're going to leave some of these other people aside. You know, we're not going to worry about them, we're not going to worry about them, and we're going to work at state-level comparisons. You know, along in here type of thing, the county health rankings, which many of you have heard about, they developed a model. We actually worked really well, very close with if you know the people from University of Wisconsin that did that. I sat on the advisory committee, and we worked very close in building models that should be communicated closely. Well, you know, we couldn't get all the academic minds to match exactly, but the models are fairly close, and we can map them across each other. So we work with other people and distinguish ourselves where we can, trying to be very synergistic and very complementary and collaborative. And where we, other places where we don't have that type of thing, we want to very slightly think, this is what we do, and this is what somebody else does. And so we make the things very distinct so that we can maintain what is this dashboard, what is these rankings about. 10 and 11, this is where we decided, okay, now let's move toward action. You know, sending numbers out is fun. It's easy to do, relatively easy to do. Other communication people talk about how difficult it is, but from my perspective, it's really easy to do. But now moving people from a number and information into something they can do is difficult. It's much more difficult. And so we then built, basically we expanded the audience by one step to people that we can engage as an individual, whether acting for themselves or for a community or for somebody else. But how do we get them engaged? And what we did is we built an action library into it so that if you want to look at this metric, you click on it and it goes through and sorts through a list of possible things that you can do. So this makes that a one-step click to something that you could do. And you can sort that by whether you're an individual, whether you're a community person, that type of thing. So we try to build the action right into the website, if you will. And the other thing we did is we really started this time to focus on a couple key areas, 2 to 4 we type of pick. And this is, we picked the usual suspects, you know, smoking, obesity, diabetes last year. But getting that, reinforcing that message that you can do something about this, either individually in your community and things like that. So the message became a little bit more involved and much more focused for that second line, if you will, after the ranking number. The lessons we learned, and the third group talked about this a lot, is it's all channels all the time. You know, it's, you got to be out there in multiple modes, you know, and it is not simple to take public health and reduce the action. You know, this is kind of singing to the choir or preaching to the choir. You all know that. But so we got something you should do, but getting people to move on it, that is not a simple thing to do. And we're still working with that. The other thing is we found now that we're starting to talk about rates don't mean as much to people. We got to talk about, well, in your state, it's 250,000 people. So we moved to population affected, not just to rates. Again, that's a communication tool because people compare it to, then you see the news pick up, that's something like the city the size of this in our state is smoking, still smoking. So people get another way to build the comparison and understand the message. So where are we going next year, or this year, I guess, this year? We're now in the process of writing a report. It's kind of first thing in everybody's mind. After we get finished here, we all have a flight and go back and do the next step. We still get the same audience type of things. The challenges we're facing is those that work with the BURFAS data realize that they change the methodology, and we use 7 components in BURFAS in ours. We have that challenge. We have a challenge for how to really build this 365, 24/7 awareness into how we do everything from day one. An interesting thing that we're going to work on this year that's coming through well is we find out that a lot of the people using our things, if they look at cardiovascular death rate, they don't know what else to look at. They don't know what the logic model is behind, well, what should else, what behavior should I look at? Should I look about smoking, or should I look at, you know, infant mortality rate next? So we're actually building a little bit of smart logic models into the site navigation, so we're going to help them to look at other things that are related to what they're looking at. And so this is, again, this is going after that general population type of interest. And we're going to take the visualization up another step, too, I think. We'll see how the programmers are working on that. Talk to me December 12th, and I'll tell you what we've learned. We'll be all sleeping at that point. But let me tell you about, I outlined 5 of the strengths here, and I go talk about each of them a little bit in depth. I mentioned earlier a state summary, and this is kind of what it looked like last year. And it really, at the bottom of the main page, it has all the data table, but there's a couple things that key about it, type of thing. It has smoking and obesity rates. That's 2 of the focus areas we talked about. So right away, they can see their trend data. At one glance, what's going on. It also has a box, which you can't really see that well, this one here, which is their economic environment. That's key. So what's the unemployment rate in the state? What's the household income? So let's put these things in context. That we all know that those are huge variables. Let's put this in context where the state is that relative to other things. So make it a very explicit part of it. But the other one is this box that's there on the left. It really points out 3 areas you ought to look at for strengths in this state and 3 areas you ought to look at as challenges. I mean, so if you're looking at this, you ought to make, well, I shouldn't go through this without talking about smoking, children poverty, and primary care physicians for this state. I ought to talk about what's going on here. This is really good. We're doing something there. But I also ought to talk on the other side is, you know, we've got some concerns. What are we doing in these 3 areas? That allows people to take the 23 or 24 measures, boil it down to 6 and say, where do I start? Now, when they talk to us and they talk to the people for the press type of stuff, they'll quite often ask questions about this, but at least it gives them a way to get into this information that's really rather dense when you look at that table. So we tell them where to start. And then we also have some paragraphs in the upper right of the page that kind of put these into words, if you will. And so that's been a really strength, and we keep honing that for layout things. The other one I put down there is the multifaceted team. This started out with kind of a back in 88 and 89, where there was one person that knew stuff about public health and a communicator. And it was kind of, we both argued with each other. So really, we talked about how we balance communications with how we balance data from day one. Now, the team's got bigger since then. But the idea of having a broad, comprehensive team and having those discussions about how do we talk about messages? How do we get messages out of this? How do we handle the data? You know, where do we have to go? What do we need to do to get more engagement? And getting the perspective from people that are in the communication side of the world to people that are in the website of the world, to people that to where we're handling the data. That has been an invaluable team that we keep pulling that together and having those discussions practically year-round. When stuff comes out, you'll see an email that says, hey, is this something we ought to be thinking about? So, and it really gives us a multifaceted perspective to go forward on it. And so this has really been a great resource that it's not a couple people then throwing it over the fence. This evolves all through the year, ideas are run around type of things. It gets a little bit more hectic right before publication, but it really involves the whole type of thing. It involves a whole range of people. And a lot of the questions, since we work on the data and the methodology, I don't get the questions at first thing. People say, okay, that's a dumb question. But you have to go to the second step, says, but why are they asking it? What do you want to get at? What do you want to communicate? What do you want to know? And I'm running over my time, so that's kind of it. So Anna keeps talking about scientific advisory committee. She'll handle that. It's been hugely valuable for the last 10 years. Feedback loops. We have several of them built into a process. We get it not only from the scientific advisory committee. We have interactions with the website. We pull it off of press people that work with this type of stuff, media inquiries. We do these pre-release briefings. So we have lots of feedback coming from the outside into it that we handle and address very seriously. We say, we need to listen to this, understand what's going on. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but you know, there's always a gem every year. You're going, oh, I didn't think about that. Limitations, constraints, my last slide is, these are things that you're all familiar with. When you start collapsing data into a dashboard like this, you lose a lot of information. So how do you manage that? How do you get them, the people interested, to that broader set of information, and how do you get them to the wealth of it when you need to? We also have a lot of, what level do you aggregate at? Now, we have to pick state, type of thing, but that doesn't help you with a lot of type of interventions and policies that you want to work with. So there's always that. Margin of error on a ranking is really hard to calculate. We've had a couple people run it through as dissertation projects and things like that, and it's all over the place. So we got that constraint concern. We don't talk about margin of error. We try to get it for different measures, but overall ranking is really difficult. Our data sources, their quality has changed over time. They've changed over time. They've appeared and disappeared. You find out things such like, well, they changed the birth certificate. Oh, geez, that means we have prenatal, you know, that's not comparable. So how do you handle those type of issues? So just data state changes. When you're over a couple decades, that happens a lot. A lot of these variables are highly correlated. I mean, how do you talk about that, and how do you adjust for it, model, how do you play with that? Our multiple audiences, multiple type of learners. I mentioned earlier we go to three audiences, but we're also going more visual, more interactive, as well as keeping the numbers up there for the different types of learners that are out there, different kind of readers. We talk about committing thing to action. And the ranking number can divert attention from core messages. So you have to be really careful that you get the core messages up there early on. So.